celebration of Pentecost. It's at the centre of our Christian faith in many ways. And yet, it's this, it's the season or the celebration which we have paid less attention to. You know, we have Christmas and we have Christmas presents. We celebrate the coming of Jesus in the form of a baby and we party, party, party. We have Easter and we celebrate the death and the resurrection and all that that means of Jesus, and we probably don't party quite so much, but we fill our faces with chocolate. We send Easter cards, we send Christmas cards, but when it comes to Pentecost, the world doesn't seem to notice. Well, at least not in Britain. In Europe, many countries will have this Pentecost weekend as a public holiday, and there will be some celebrations. But here, not so much. Since June in 1972, we no longer have the Whitsun holiday. Whitsun was the time when we celebrated Pentecost weekend on this weekend of Pentecost, which of course moves according to Easter. And as a country, we seem to have lost any interest in Pentecost, apart from those of us who, of course, here in church and other churches today. And I think what a shame that is, because here is the most important of seasons, the most important celebrations. Some churches do have special services. We're doing something a little bit special today. I'm wearing a red tie, not because it was the first one which was available to me, but because traditionally many churches would wear red robes or have red altar cloths to celebrate and point out the power of the flames which came upon the apostles in Pentecost. And yet there are three things, aren't there, which Pentecost tells us, three things that we should be celebrating. The first is that Pentecost is about a promise fulfilled. Jesus promised his disciples that after he had left them, finally, after his ascension, that he would send another helper, another comforter. Sometimes we used to talk about the Holy Paraclete, a Greek word meaning defender. Jesus promised his disciples that he would send something of God to them. In John 14:15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." So Jesus made a promise, and the promise is fulfilled, and we should be celebrating. We should be celebrating today as the birthday of the church, that after all that happened in that locked room, and when the people came out into the world, when the apostles got out there, they preached, they taught, people heard the good news in their own language for the first time, and the church was born. We should be celebrating. Pentecost is also about God's presence and power being within us. Being within us here and now. We've been singing about the Holy Spirit, fill this place with your power. Fill each of us with your power. And Pentecost is about that. And surely that's worth celebrating. But the world doesn't. I haven't received a single happy Pentecost card. Have you? Have you sent a happy Pentecost card to anybody? Well, maybe we should start a trend. Maybe we should start sending each other happy Pentecost cards and celebrate these three important facts. But the coming of the Holy Spirit is explained in the New Testament, particularly very clearly within the letters of Paul. And Paul says that the Holy Spirit came and came not just as a burst of wind and fire, but actually comes and dwells within us and brings us gifts. And we think of the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, which are varied and many. On the screen now, you should see 18 different gifts of the Spirit, which Paul talks about in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Gifts from the highly spiritual gifts of speaking in tongues to the more everyday gifts of having faith and caring for people and administration and so on. All of these gifts God gives to his people so that they can build up, so that we can build up the kingdom of God here on earth. But the important thing I want us to think about this morning are not those 18 or more spiritual gifts which Paul talks about, but the one which he talks about to the Corinthians about the spirit of wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Well, wisdom comes with age, probably, but I know some very wise young people. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is not being able to watch University Challenge and answer one of the questions in every episode. Wisdom is not about winning the chase every tea time. Wisdom is not knowledge which we can quickly pull out of our minds. Wisdom is seeing things through the eyes of God. And wisdom, God's wisdom, is a mystery. In verse 7, Paul says, well, verse 6 says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." This wisdom that we are being promised is that which comes from God. Not something which we can learn, like we can sit down with a textbook and or an online course and memorize everything. This is something special. This is something which actually is the very nature of God coming into our lives. It's been with God since God was God, since all eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God. And this is wisdom. This is God's view and understanding of the world. And we need wisdom. If we're going to live fulfilled lives, if we're going to live obedient lives according to God's will for us, we need to see the world through God's perspective. Yes, there is wisdom which we accumulate through lifelong experience of doing things, and you know, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and I would advise you to do ABC. That is one form of wisdom, but the most important form of wisdom is understanding what God wants for us and what God wants for his world and how God wants us to live. And the only way in which we can receive that wisdom is to receive God's Holy Spirit into our lives. Paul writes, "None of the rulers of this age understood it." That's the wisdom of God. "For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, or no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Holy Spirit." How do we receive an insight into God? How do we really understand how God wants to work in us? When he gives us those spiritual gifts, which we saw a list of, what does he want us to do with them? How does he want us to use them? The only way that we will know is by being open to his revelation through his Holy Spirit. And so wisdom is discerning the mind of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that mind of God is revealed to us by the Spirit, and it's that which we're celebrating today. How do we know this? Well, the important thing is to grasp is who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is part of the essence of God. If you remember, next week will be Trinity Sunday, and we talk about God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not either or, not one of that one, but three in one. And the Holy Spirit is an integral part of who God is and through whom God communicates to us. Paul gives us an insight into this when he says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now, we would like to search the deep things of God, but we have limited human capacity. But the Spirit, because he is part of God, can enter into the very depths of who God is. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? That's true, isn't it? Who really knows what we're thinking? Only our spirit. The thing which is deep inside us. We know whether we're being honest with people. We know whether we're being afraid. We deep down know whether we are excited or bored or whatever. We can put on a brave face. But our spirit, that which is deep within us, that tells us who and what we really are. And it's the same with God. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we receive is not the spirit of the world, not the advice of the world, not the current thoughts of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Because the Holy Spirit is so much part of God himself, only he can actually communicate to us the real depth of understanding of God. And so if we don't have the Holy Spirit within us, we're not on God's wavelength. Now, I'm not an engineer or a scientist, so please, I may get this wrong, but you know, different types of receiving equipment need different types of wavelengths, whether it's VHF or digital or UHF, or whether it's those great radio telescopes which penetrate the universe. You have to have the right wavelength in order to receive and transmit messages to and from. And so it is as Christians. We need to be on the same wavelength as God. And that wavelength is determined by the Holy Spirit and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Paul says the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. If they're not on the right wavelength, then anything they hear is just like static, just that shh noise which we hear when we're not got our radio system tuned in properly. The person considers it to be foolishness and can't understand because they are not discerning things by the power of the Spirit. But, says Paul, we have the mind of Christ. We have access to the proper wavelength. We have the connectivity which enables us to enter into the depths of God and allow God to enter the depths of us. And that's what is vital. If we are to live as people of God, if we are to share the love of God with those around us, if we're to serve God in whatever way we can through whatever gifts he gives us, in order to do that, we need to be empowered by him. We need to understand what he's calling us to do. We need that vitality, that vitalness of being on the same wavelength. The presence of the Spirit is not just something that's nice to have. Today is Pentecost, when God made a very, very clear move into earth, just as he did when Jesus was born. Now, because Jesus is at his right hand, he brings his Holy Spirit here, now, amongst us, in us. And he's telling us that this is the only way in which we can fully relate to him. And that seems to me it's worth celebrating. It's challenging because, like all these things, We sometimes turn away, we go lukewarm, we switch off, we change the wavelength because we think that wavelength might be more helpful. But no, my friends, today is the day when the Spirit comes, when we celebrate when the Spirit came amongst the apostles and continues to come amongst each of us today. So let's celebrate it. But don't let's just celebrate it and move on. Tomorrow's another day. We need to carry that presence of the Spirit with us. Do tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and next week and next year and until God calls us to be with him for eternity. And in a moment, we're going to share bread and wine together. We're going to remember it was through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we are saved, that we have eternal salvation. But Jesus' promise to his disciples was that the Spirit would come when he had left them. When he had died and risen again and had ascended into heaven, he would not leave the disciples alone. He would not abandon them, but would ask the Father to send the Spirit. So without the crucifixion, without the resurrection, without the ascension, that promise could not be fulfilled. So what we're celebrating today is the sacrifice of Jesus, but also the next step on this journey to welcoming the Spirit into our lives. I'd like us to join in, if you feel able, with a prayer. A prayer in which we dedicate ourselves to living with the Holy Spirit in our lives, dedicating ourselves to constantly be welcoming the Holy Spirit in our lives, to be constantly recognizing his presence amongst us. So we should have that prayer on the screen and we'll pray it together. Let us pray. Breathe in us, Holy Spirit, that we may think what is holy. Move in us, Holy Spirit, that we may do what is holy. Attract us, Holy Spirit, that we may love what is holy. Strengthen us, Holy Spirit, that we may guard what is holy. Guard us, Holy Spirit, that we may keep what is holy. Amen.